Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome into the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast, whether you're doing so on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Really appreciate you taking the time to check out the show. A lot has happened in the SPHL in the last couple of weeks since the President's Cup Finals. We've had a handful of coaching changes that have been announced. One of those coaching changes has resulted in one coach already being replaced. And so one of those teams now has a new head coach as the rest of the league continues to progress through the offseason. And protected lists were announced Thursday morning. So a couple of notable news items that have taken place in the SPHL as we start to get into the summer activity for the SPHL. So we'll start with the protected list for Knoxville. And again, just a couple of quick ground rules about the protected list. Teams are allowed to protect a maximum of 13 players that were under contract at the conclusion of the season. You can protect players that were that finished the year on injured reserve or were on call-up to the ECHL or were placed on team suspension. So you have a number of different options as what teams can do. So if you see protected list players on that league announcement on the SPHL's website, it's like, wait a second, I thought they got rid of this player. They might have parted ways with that player in terms of a suspension or a call-up, or maybe they suffered a season-ending injury that, you know, prevented them from being, but teams can maintain their rights through those different avenues. So that allows a team to protect that player at the end of the season. Roanoke brought in a handful of recent college graduates late in the season. They suspended a handful of them so they could go back and finish their degrees, wrap up their academic calendar year. And so theoretically, Roanoke could have protected those players, used those 13 spots to protect those players for the opportunity to bring them back for next year. Now, want to remind everybody, just because a player is protected does not guarantee that they will be back the following season. Just because a player is not protected does not guarantee that they will not be back the following season. So an example of that from last summer was Cole McKechnie was not named to the protected list in the summer of 2023. So because of that, players that are left unprotected cannot sign with their previous team before August 1st. So Cole had indicated his desire to come back to Knoxville, but he couldn't officially sign until August. So August rolled around, he signed, and then he played for Knoxville this past season. And I bring that up because Cole is also left unprotected again, and so obviously Cole could re-sign with Knoxville theoretically next year if he chose to do that, but he cannot do that before August 1st. So again, I just want to use that as an example to remind everybody, just because a player was not protected does not mean that they can't come back. Now, they are free to sign with another team by that point. So that is the danger that obviously happened a couple of years ago where Knoxville did not protect Stefan Brucato or Stepan Timofeyev. They both signed with Birmingham. And if they had chosen to come back to Knoxville, they would not have been able to sign until August. So, and there can be conversations indicating what a player wants to do the following season, whether it be, well, I want to take the opportunity to see the world and use pro hockey to travel a little bit. I want to go to another country, or I want to go to another continent, and I just want to see more of the world before I'm done playing hockey. Or I really believe that I have an opportunity to play in the ECHL. I'm going to try to go for that. Or I'm going to retire, or I'm going to go back to school and move on to the next stage of my life. So for Knoxville, the Ice Bears protected Anthony Sonato, Justin Smunt, Brendan Daller, Brady Florent, Cameron Huff, Joshua Carlson, Davis Kirkendall, Dawson McKinney, Derek Osick, Tyler Rolo, Cody Schwartz, Kyle Soper, and Christian Stead. So again, there is no guarantee that any of those 13 players will be back come this October. And so And I've kind of already seen a little bit of the chatter on social media after the Ice Bears kind of made the post. You know, why are we bringing back a lot of the same pieces from, you know, a team that didn't make the playoffs? Well, the reason for that is because a team is permitted to protect up to 13 guys. And so it at least gives you 13 bodies. And if you believe that you have 13 players whose rights that you have property of at the present time that you believe that you can work with moving forward into next season, then you protect those players to try to build a foundation for your team and move forward from that. And so for Knoxville, you take that opportunity to protect those players and see if you can establish some chemistry and some momentum and some, you know, a bit of a foundation building going in to next season. And granted, several of these players did not finish the season with Knoxville. Davis Kirkendall was on the IR at the end of the year. Tyler Rolo finished the season on injured reserve as well. Brady Florent finished the season in the ECHL. Joshua Carlson finished the season in the ECHL. Cameron Huff left the team to go to France. And so there's always the opportunity that those players could come back, and the opportunity that, if nothing else, that you have the opportunity to use their rights as trade collateral, which is what Knoxville essentially did with Jordan Stollard during the year. Pensacola protected Jordan Stollard. And if you remember, Knoxville traded the rights to Jordan Stollard to Pensacola in order to get Brett McCrones and then later signed Derek McCrones in that trade. Stollard never reported to Pensacola. He ended up going overseas after he was cut from his ECHL team when he was called up from Knoxville. Pensacola's opted to protect him, if nothing else, for the opportunity that if Stollard does decide to come back to the SPHL and take the opportunity to see if he comes back and wants to play for them. And so, you know, sometimes you're looking at different situations and potentially rolling the dice. Other times you feel like maybe you've had an opportunity to talk to that player and you feel good about the possibility of them coming out. Stollard's obviously a very different example because he has so much experience playing in Europe and the ECHL. He's not been in the SPHL for very long. The time that he was in the SPHL, he was very, very good for Knoxville. And so understandably so why Pensacola would want to try to get him in Florida to play if there's any interest there at all. And I don't have any information on that, but there's just always that opportunity of wanting to get a player of that caliber to be able to play for your team. So for Knoxville, you look at the 13 protected players, Anthony Cinato and Justin Smunt, guys that were acquired a little bit later in the season. Cinato was claimed off waivers after Roanoke had to waive him, essentially just because of the number of guys that Dan Bremner brought in late in the season. They had an influx of talent, especially at forward, and I'm sure that was a tough decision for Bremner to make. Justin Smunt was acquired in a trade with Macon. Brendan Daller was claimed off waivers back in November after Huntsville let him go. And he joined Knoxville, stuck the rest of the season. Brady Florent, of course, was Knoxville's leading scorer at the time that he was called up to Norfolk. He also had another call up to Atlanta earlier in the year. And Brady's actually been playing really well. At times, he's been playing first line minutes for former Knoxville Ice Bears head coach Jeff Carr. They're up 2-1 in their second round series in the Kelly Cup playoffs in the ECHL against the Adirondack Thunder. So a tough overtime loss for Norfolk on Wednesday night, by the way. But Norfolk still with a 2-1 series lead. Cam Huff went overseas and played for France this year, was placed on team suspension, so Knoxville maintains his rights. And you know, who knows what Cam will decide to do. Will he decide, okay, I want to go back to the States? Do I want to stay in Europe? You know, the last time that he was in the U.S., he got an opportunity at an ECHL tryout to start in Wichita, and then he was also given... He had a call-up last year. He was gone for a significant amount of time and then came back shortly before the postseason last year. So obviously Cam Huff, a very skilled player, will have he will have options to do what he wants for next season. Joshua Carlson, you know, spent the first several years of his pro career overseas playing in his home country of Sweden, came over, spent some time in Knoxville, was called up in mid-January, never came back to the SPHL. So we'll see what next year looks like for him. After he spent some time in the coast and was traded to Greenville after about 14 games or so up in the ECHL. Davis Kirkendall, as I mentioned, finished the season on IR. High-energy player that I thought played the best game of his time in Knoxville, had his best game of the year on March 16th in that road game against Fayetteville. constantly got to his spots, was putting himself in position to make plays, got off some good shot attempts, was battling for a net front presence, was good defensively in that game as well, and then got rewarded with a goal because he battled, got to the net front, and was able to screen Ryan Kelly, where a loose puck found its way into the crease, and Kirkendall was able to make the tap in. So you see a guy that can do that. If Kirkendall is able to put forth that sort of performance on a night-in, night-out basis, then I think you're looking at a guy that can be a solid contributor for you. Dawson McKinney, Mr. Overtime for Knoxville this year, had three overtime game-winning goals and was Knoxville's leading scorer this past season. Derek Osick had a good final month to the season, including that hat trick against Fayetteville in mid-March. Played a very good game. I thought that same night, Tyler Rolo arguably had his best game of the season in that March 15th home loss to Fayetteville. I thought, and Rolo obviously banged up, had to be shut down before the end of the season. I think when he's healthy and he's able to play that he wants to play, you see a guy that can distribute the puck well. He's willing to shoot. He's willing to get into the dirty areas. I think was a little bit less able to do that because at times, you know, he went from playing first line center to sometimes being the 10th forward late in the season, really just out of Coach Andrew Harrison trying to be cautious with him. But I thought that game in mid-March against Fayetteville, you saw him taking shots. You saw him grab a couple of assists. He set up some really nice scoring opportunities that weren't converted, had some really good passes in that game. And then if you remember earlier in the season, he was a really good two-way player. He was drawing penalties. He was back-checking hard and just doing all the little things that I think Knoxville is something that could really use going into next year. Cody Schwartz, a really skilled defenseman who has a lot of strength for his size, and kind of see where he ends up next season. I know he's got some other business ventures that he's in outside of hockey, and so kind of see how that shapes out his schedule. Kyle Soper, I thought, showed off his skill after being acquired from Fayetteville, so came in and had some really nice plays, and I think that Knoxville feels really good about what he could bring to the blue line. And then Christian Stead in net. Of course, Stead has had call-ups. He's had ECHL camp tryouts, so he's going to have some options, kind of similar to Cameron Huff. He's going to have some options to look at what he wants to do for next year. Kind of suffered that mid-body injury towards the end of the season, but closed out the season being able to play before the year ended. So I was glad to see that he was healthy enough to be able to play one more game. So I'm sure that Stetter is going to take the time to evaluate all of his options and see what kind of moves forward. As of right now, he's the, outside of Brady Fleurin, he's the longest tenured member that is on this protected list after having just finished his third season in Knoxville. But again, he really only played about a dozen games or so because he spent so much time in Norfolk, and that wasn't even his only call-up of the season. So a very good season, by the way, for Christian up in the ECHL, especially when he was playing for the Admirals. Had some good wins this year, had really solid numbers, had his first ECHL shutout this season. So, you know, big contributor, which kind of they had to rotate a lot of goalies up there in Norfolk because of guys getting called up to Carolina and Winnipeg and guys going to Manitoba. And so just a number of, you know, up and down situation at the goaltender position for the Admirals. And Christian Stead was a big part of that rotation the latter half of the year. So glad to see him have some good performances up in the ECHL. And I'm sure he was excited about that as well. So for Knoxville, you take some of these pieces, see which guys are going to opt to come back. Again, they can't sign with other teams. Knoxville holds their rights, but they can look at opportunities in the ECHL. They can look at opportunities overseas. There is no guarantee that all 13 of these players will be back. And again, guys that weren't on the protected list, Sam Dabrowski, Rex Moe, Seth Enzer, Jason Price, just there's no... There is no, or Zane Steves also, there's no reason that those guys can't come back. They just can't officially sign until August 1st. And again, you only get to protect 13 players. So just on just about every team in this league, there's going to be at least one notable name on each list that's like, wait a second, why is that guy not coming back to that team? And there's different reasons for that every season, and it's different for every player. So the SPHL has had a handful of coaching changes over the course of the last couple of weeks. Last week, Knoxville announced that Ice Bears interim head coach Andrew Harrison had resigned from his position. As far as moving forward next year, Knoxville has already begun the coaching search. They've already been looking at applications. They've already conducted coaching interviews. So the search has already been underway as far as looking at the right candidate to try to lead them in the right direction. Obviously, Nick Needer was relieved of his duties by Macon right before the season ended. Caleb Cameron took over as the interim the rest of the way, still a little unknown as to what Macon is going to do. Quad City parted ways with Dave Chinichny. Ryan Crothers took a job in the USHL, so he left Fayetteville, and the Marksmen have already announced that Kyle Sharkey, Ryan's assistant, would be elevated and become the team's head coach. And still curious to see what's going to happen in Peoria, because the initial plan, as was my understanding, was at the start of the season, Alec Hagman became the assistant coach, and he was going to step in for Jean-Guy Trudel at the end of this season. That kind of changed. Hagman had some things in his personal life come up, opted instead of being an assistant coach that he was going to play again. Obviously worked out very well for Peoria, because he is leaving the Peoria area as his family is expected to move out of state. So, you know, what does that mean? Does Eric Levine take on a bigger role on the coaching staff for Peoria? Does Jean-Guy Trudel stay? Does he go? It's very up in the air still. Hagemann did confirm to the Peoria Journal Star after the President's Cup championship win that he is retired. So we'll see what happens as far as Peoria. So still kind of a question mark there, but we do know that there are teams looking for new coaches, whether Macon opts to go with Caleb Cameron or not. It'll be a matter of removing the interim tag or bringing in somebody else. But now both of the teams that are kind of under a similar ownership group, Fayetteville and Macon, there's Macon Pro Hockey, and then, of course, Chuck Norris, who runs Macon Pro Hockey and then also owns the Fayetteville Marksmen, now with multiple coaching changes happening this season. So Macon Pro Hockey, the new ownership group, took over late in the season, opted to part ways with Nick Niedert, and then Caleb Cameron was made the interim. So could be another change coming there, or they'll make it a formality with Caleb having his interim tag removed. And then in Fayetteville, one coaching change already taken care of, where Ryan Crothers moves on. I thought he did a really good job from a recruiting standpoint. His first year took Fayetteville from a seventh place finish to a fourth place finish with a really young team. They dealt with a ton of call-ups. They had more players than any other team this past season in terms of how many players they'd utilize. Over 60 players were employed by Fayetteville over the course of the season. So very, very hectic year for the Marksmen, just in terms of all the call-ups, all the injuries, all the guys that they had to use over the course of the season. But I thought Ryan Crothers did a really good job, and we'll see if Kyle Sharkey can kind of pick up where Ryan left off. And I know that towards the end of the season didn't end the way they wanted it to. They were a top two team in January, kind of slid back to fourth, were in danger of falling further, and then ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs to Huntsville. But, you know, some individual players, Simon Boyko, Cameron Cook, Tyler Barrow, really, really good individual seasons. They had a young core there that I thought all played really well. I thought Matt Arujo had a really good rookie season. Grant Loven was really a key contributor. You had Tyler Coburn, who was really big for them in the first half of the season. So a lot of good things happening for some of the younger teams in this league, such as Fayetteville and Huntsville, even though they've kind of had some coaching changes along the way. And obviously Stuart Stefan taking Huntsville to the finals in his first year as the head coach. I'm sure that Huntsville is very, very happy with what the future holds for the Havoc. So a lot happening in a short amount of time, but we are officially into the offseason in the SPHL. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Again, like, subscribe, follow the show, and tell a hockey fan you know about the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Enjoy the summer, enjoy the offseason, as we wait for more news to break. I'm Joel Silverberg. This has been the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.